You are listening to The New Man, Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp.
Do you think that having a serious girlfriend means giving up your life? Are you already in a relationship and you don't even know how to ask for what you want? Is it even possible to be in a relationship and live the life you want to live? Today we're talking with Allison Schwabe, a psychotherapist specializing in women's issues and healthy relationship dynamics, and Ravain Bacall, a psychotherapist who focuses on couples counseling and men's issues. We'll find out how to be in a committed relationship without having to cut off your dick. So today we are talking about expectations in relationship. What is expected socially? What's expected on a personal level? Expected sexually? All of those things. Because I think we kind of go into autopilot. We start diving into what our parents did. And now's the time we can bring awareness around that and be like, huh, what do I want in a relationship? And the term that gets used a lot is differentiation. So Ravain, give me kind of a layman's definition of what differentiation is.
I think of it as experiencing ourselves as separate, as my happiness isn't, and my feelings and my well-being aren't determined by my partner.
Okay. All right. And Allison, do you have another shot at that too? Like any... How would you describe differentiation?
I would agree with what Ravain said. I think if anything I would add, just in layman's terms, is my ability to be separate from you or you or you. I can have my own thoughts and feelings and experiences, and you can have yours. We can have very different perceptions of the same experience, the same scenario even. But I get to be me and you get to be you.
So why isn't that in there to begin with? Like, why is it? Is it because we think we might be separate and then we'll... Why isn't that the automatic thing? Why is it that we go into thinking that, oh, if I have my own separate thing, then we'll be disconnected? Is that what...
I think a lot of people are very uncomfortable with taking responsibility for their own emotions. And people feel pretty anxious when they have to do that. So let's say my woman wants to go out for dinner with our friends and I don't want to. She's like, but I really want you to just come with us. And being differentiated, I might say, I'm staying home tonight because that's what I need for me. Mm. And then she might feel very bad and attack me or something. And then I might feel guilty, scared that we're gonna feel separate and I'm going to lose connection with her. Mm-hmm. So it gets hard for people to actually embody what we're talking about, being differentiated fundamentally because of that anxiety that arises, mm-hmm. like a fear of losing connection. That's a big piece of it, I think.
Got it.
I would also add that for the most part, people struggle with connecting in general. They struggle with making that level of contact with another person.
And so what do you mean by that? What do you mean by making contact?
I mean connecting, being open to another person, feeling another person.
Okay.
On all levels. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little cheesy, but the simplest way to put it is opening your heart to another person and letting that person open their heart to you and staying in that.
So this space is a show for guys.
Right. So you can edit that out.
What is she talking about?
Yeah, what the hell is that?
What is open heart?
So as I was saying, many people have a hard time even going to that connecting place, even connecting. So if we're talking about, having your own life and being your own person, I think a lot of people stumble on how do I stay connected with this person and have my life?
So what I'm hearing is it's a both and. I get to have my own life and I have to get to have a deeper connection with my partner.
The thing I'd add to having my own life is staying connected to what's true for me, even on the mundane level of, what's true is I want to stay home tonight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how can I stay connected to what I want, what I need, what I feel, and what's true for me, and maintain a connection with my partner? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're going to feel separate and disconnected. And can I hang with that? Can I tolerate feeling disconnection if it means that I get to live in my truth?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like there's got to be a level of trust established underneath, because I can imagine in a newer relationship where, you know, like, hey, you know what? I'm changing my mind tonight. It could be in another person's eyes, like, wow, this relationship maybe is, oh, it's on shaky ground or it's over. So it seems like there's got to be a foundation of that solid connection that you're talking about.
I think trust helps with differentiation, but I think more than it's about trust, it's about people's willingness to tolerate what it feels like to be separate. You know what I mean?
Say more.
Maybe we're at the beginning of a relationship and there's an expectation that, of course, we do everything together and we're joined at the hip. But if I decide not to do what my partner's doing, I'm going to feel uncomfortable and she's going to feel uncomfortable. Maybe. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I need to be able to tolerate feeling uncomfortable. If my woman feels bad that I'm not joining her, I'm going to feel anxious that my woman's feeling bad about me not joining her. So fundamentally, I need to be able to feel scared of losing connection, or I need to be able to feel anxious and have that be okay.
Gonna sit in that.
That may sound a little, I don't know, theoretical, but
well, we're gonna get into some more of the kind of the rubber meets the road stuff here in a little bit. So
when I think of relationship, I think of a model or something, and like there's a sense of obligation. Like, well, I'm in relationship, so it means I have to do this, 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 or this. And as I feel that obligation, if I go against what I really feel, there's like a resentment. So it's just so damaging to not have this differentiation. And I look back to previous relationships, and it was when I felt that obligation and went according to that as opposed to what I really wanted to do, then the resentment happened. And then I'm resenting my partner for making me do this when it was, I guess, my model of relationship that made me feel that obligation. I mean, is that something?
Yeah, I think that's the model in this society. The model of relationship is fusion.
Yeah, you know? Maybe we should talk more about the model itself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's kind of go back up and let's take a look at the model, and then where can we challenge it or dismantle it or any of those things. It makes sense? So, like, personally, what is the model, or what are some of the assumptions or the beliefs that we have around relationship? What's relationship going to do for me?
I think in our society, we have the assumption, expectation that relationship is going to basically solve my problems. It's going to take away my pain. It's going to give me a refuge from what's unwanted and uncomfortable in my life. I'm going to always have security, comfort,
company,
companionship. I'm going to have somebody to always think the way I'm thinking and feel the way I'm feeling and do with me the things that I want to do. And I'm going to feel fulfilled.
She'll meet all your desires. That's one for me. Like, I have these desires, and if I get the perfect relationship, I'll never have a desire again.
Right, that's a good one.
It kind of has this finish line quality to it. And so then I can see why whenever I'm in relationship and I'm working from this model, I'm not going to do anything to challenge that. I can kind of start seeing why it would be difficult around that. Were you going to say something?
I want to also get back to what you were saying, sort of like the model or the framework for relationship societal expectations or norms for that. And I'd like to hear also, like, less of what maybe Ravain and I know to be societal, and more like, as a man, what would be the most common sort of constructs and model for a man? What's the model for a woman?
So right.
Just to get specific and sort of more like personal.
It seems like what most men in our society experience, or a lot of us, is feeling domesticated. Like, we're these wild beings, like a wild mountain lion, and we got brought into the house and got tamed into being a house cat, like really domesticated. Okay. And part of that is our unwillingness to differentiate. And so we kind of got to just go along, or we feel we need to go along with what the woman wants, or our partner in general.
Yep.
Go the other way too.
Okay.
And so we become really, really tamed and domesticated and lose our fierce, wild, masculine essence.
That's a good one.
I love that. And also for me, what comes up is my fear of that. Like I avoid commitment because I'm afraid someone's going to tie me to something, you know, mm-hmm. chain me down, make me lose my power somehow, you know, and I've had relationships that were challenging and I've started to feel that. And so now mm-hmm. I'm like, totally like, oh, that's not going to happen. I'll stay single forever. It's not, I'm not going to be tamed, you know?
Yeah. And so that's very limiting. And if we're able to feel our sense of differentiation that I can hang on to myself, then I'm free actually to enter into relationships. I know that I'm not going to get captured or invaded. Or if I do momentarily, I know how to recognize it and then come back to myself. And then I'm free to enter into relationships.
I would also add that that's 100% true for women as well.
Mm-hmm. And what's so from a woman's perspective, do you want a domesticated, neutered cat?
No, absolutely not. I think that actually what attracts us to each other is the fact that often, I mean, ideally, when we are in a single way, when we're not dating or committed to another person, that we have the most access to that free, wild, free to be me space. And we get to embody that more and more. And that's actually what attracts us to one another.
Mm-hmm.
It's recognizing that and not I recognize me and you necessarily, but wow, I see your wildness. I see your excitement. I see your zest for and power for the life that you're leading. That's attractive to me.
Mm-hmm. But then we get into a relationship. Partners tend to cut off parts of their self yes. and their wildness and their truth and their experience in order to fit in comfortably to relationship
right.
so they don't make waves and cause problems and feel separate or have fights.
Right.
And so then you got two people who are pretty truncated, who are pretty mm-hmm. small after a while, and then they're not even that into each other.
Yeah.
Because you're not the person that I was so jazzed by and turned on by.
Absolutely.
You're this much smaller, limited version that isn't very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Casey, what is it like in your terms? Like, what is it about? Are you able to kind of articulate like, oh, I've got to do this, I got to do that, and that's that domestication process?
Well, what came up for me was like that makes total sense, and it's my responsibility to not let that happen. But what about a relationship compels us to ask the other person to limit themselves? If we do that, we truncate
mm-hmm.
as a response to some sort of request from the partner. So what are they doing? Like, what is happening where they would request us to do something they don't want us to actually do? You know, like, what is that?
Well, and I wonder if it's like a request or if it's, again, falling into that cultural norm. I remember when my husband and I were first courting each other, we fell into, after probably the first 24 hours or whatever of hanging out, we fell into this, both of us fell into this very polite, kind of cordial space. And I mean, it drove me nuts. Like, I just couldn't handle getting into the space that we were getting into. I didn't want that. I knew that it could be different with him. And I felt us both falling into, and it felt very sort of cultural, societal, like, let's just be polite and get to know each other here on this sort of surfacey, maybe a little, maybe a foot down from the surface, but let's just, you know, we have time, let's just stay polite. And it just really didn't work for me. I was losing energy. I was feeling like bored. Like, okay, this is not right. I can't keep this up all day. So,
and do you think that is, are you alone in that? Or do you feel like a lot of women are, whether they maybe have awareness around it or not, they're like, this is boring. Or
I would absolutely say I'm not alone in that.
Okay.
I don't know if all women are conscious of what's going on. They're not necessarily able to read the situation.
Mm-hmm.
At the time I knew what was happening. I knew we were falling into this sort of nicey nice place. And it wasn't like I was trying to start a fight, but I knew that that wasn't authentic for either of us in that moment.
And that was playing it safe, right? Would you call it like
that
the area
been,
playing it safe?
Yeah, absolutely playing it safe.
Yeah. I feel like there's a connection to this model or the things that we were talking about earlier. Like, what's the relationship going to get for me? So I'm going to have all these things now. I'm going to have this refuge. I'm going to have this. Now I'm going to play it safe.
Well, maybe part of that construct is like the refuge is this safety. And so maybe just the shadow side of that safety refuge is this, oh, well, we have to play nice and play safe. And I can't tell you I want to go to a rave on Saturday because I know you hate raves and you don't want the thought of me shaking my ass on the dance floor with 10 other men around me and that aren't you. That's not safe.
So we decide at some point to trade our authenticity, trade our truth, for getting acceptance and love from our partner.
Well said.
Join us next week when we continue our discussion with Allison and Ravine.